right now, it's time for Conversations with the Mayors, presented by the Chamber. 1,000 members, 4 promises, and 1 purpose for a greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. Get more on them at carolinachamber.org. Talking Carrboro today on this Feel Free Friday, and we are joined in the studio by Mayor Lydia Lavelle. How are you?
Good. Happy to be here. You're making me hungry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We still got all of this amazing food from Namu sitting around that people are coming in and picking from. But yeah, we're gonna be eating this for the rest of the day, and I'm 100% fine with that.
It's a good way to spend the afternoon.
It is. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So you've had a busy week. You were saying you've been to a bunch of different things.
Oh yeah, it's you kind of have this nice slow summer schedule, and then things start to really ramp up, and of course.
And you're teaching as well now too at
NC
Central.
Right. So even just for me personally. Exactly. Classes started on Monday, so I've been busy teaching all week. But we started out on Monday, of course, with the annual Good Neighbor Initiative Walk.
Yes.
Where we walk around the Northside community, and some of which is in Carrboro, and we always walk around and meet the residents. And I'm starting to recognize some of the longtime residents
nice.
There because I've done this several years in a row. One lady. A couple years ago, I went by and she'd had knee surgery. Mm-hmm. And then the next year I went by and I asked her how her knee surgery was. And this year when we went by, I said she had knee surgery again. some of the problem.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was cool. We see all the folks who live there. We meet all the students who have moved into the neighborhood and just kind of talk to them and remind them about, noise and parking and parties and being respectful of the neighborhood and tell them about the block party that they have later in September. I think it's a really great way to kind of kick off the year.
Yeah, definitely.
So anyway, we had that on Monday. And then on Wednesday, I actually had a couple of things going on. I had a Visitors Bureau board meeting, which, again, kind of was kicking off the year also. I've been a member of that board for several years, but we always kind of hear about upcoming plans. We hear from all the hoteliers, about their excitement about the weekends that are coming up with the football games, and we get statistics about occupancy and things are looking pretty good. We also get reports on, hotels or motels that have shifted that may or may not, that may be coming online, and we give a little kind of roundtable of events or things we have coming up that we think will bring visitors to the town. So anyway, that's an awesome meeting. We have that once a month, but we were off for the summer.
What was the most kind of significant thing that came out of that meeting?
Well, part of it each year is how are we going to market for the upcoming year, right? Mm-hmm. And what I have found extremely interesting in my years on that board has been the shift toward digital media and all the metrics that you can use to actually figure out that visitors are ending up coming to your town by virtue of just, kind of Googling around. And what we're finding is, too, that they really more respect reviews of the general public than whatever just bland information they can kind of find on the web, which makes sense.
I go to TripAdvisor first for anything. Very rarely do I go to the Visitors Bureau of a place that I'm looking to visit, but TripAdvisor is where I go to first for exactly that reason.
Yeah. No, I think everyone kind of likes to do that. I'm a Yelper myself.
Same thing.
Kind of go and do that and hear what, because you get the down and dirty. So that was interesting. Also, just some kind of talking about, in general, the use of visitor centers and whether they're necessary or not and what their market is and how they're kind of turning modern and things like that. Anyway, it's kind of a fascinating arena, and Laurie Policelli does a great job of kind of keeping up with the times because it has shifted tremendously, really, over the years. Also on Wednesday, because of that, I couldn't attend this, but I had another meeting of the Governor's Inclusion Commission that I'm on, so I attended that by teleconference. I called in, and we had a meeting from 10 to 2 and kind of kept up with the other board members on that. We meet 2 or 3 times a year about ways that we can help the Department of Administration try to address concerns of underrepresented communities. One of our focuses right now, she actually, I think, is the one who Governor Cooper appointed to kind of spearhead the census effort.
Okay.
So we talked about that quite a bit. The meeting was in Charlotte, which I wasn't there, but there was also a lot of talk about what the city of Charlotte has done to promote inclusion, and we heard a lot of demographics about Charlotte, which I wasn't aware of, how dramatically they've increased in diversity the last several years. Anyway, it was really interesting, so we had that. And then let's see what else I had. Gosh, my classes and everything. It was just kind of crazy.
You're looking at your calendar, and it's just full of stuff.
Yeah. And then today I had a couple of other meetings that I don't need to tell you about. But we also, then every Friday, we have our Metropolitan Mayor's Update, where we have, we hear kind of what bills have gone through, what bills haven't, what's kind of out there on hold. And I was not able to be on that call because of another call, but I got a little, you know, wrap up report of it. And, you know, just kind of observing from afar these antics going on at the General Assembly, you know, the strategies of the majority to try to figure out how to get the budget across in little pieces, for example, and things like that. Really appreciate the governor vetoing a couple of bills this week. You know, the bill that would have required the sheriffs to you know, cooperate in every way with ICE officials, and then the billboard bill that he vetoed. Even though I think that in general the League of Municipalities was happy with some of the negotiations they had done to kind of modify that bill. In general, personally, I think it was a good decision by the governor to veto that.
Say more about that bill, because we got the word yesterday that he had vetoed it, and so much has been said about HB 370, which is the ICE bill, and we've talked about that quite a bit on the air, but the billboard bill kind of flew under the radar a lot more. So what was the bill, and what was the objection to it?
Yeah, let me, I want to tell you the specifics about it. So while I'm pulling that up, why don't we move on to something else here? And I'll
can also talk about the other cool, speaking with Mayor Lydia Lavelle, a cool thing potentially for the town of Carrboro, which is the application for gold level bike friendly status from the, I'm going to be blanking on the organization. I had it in my head and then I lost it.
Yeah, the League of American Bicyclists.
I could think of was League of Municipal, and then I just lost it. It's like, I know that's not right.
Yeah, I think it's because I just talked to you about like the other leagues. Those were in your mind.
Yeah,
this is a pretty cool thing that we have actually been working on. A couple of years ago, we decided, you know, after we became, you know, in North Carolina at the time, we were the only silver level bicycle community in the state. And now Chapel Hill is also one. You know, that's fine. We'll share that designation with them. But meanwhile, we're wanting to, you know, go for the gold. Mm-hmm. And so what the League of American Bicyclists has is it has kind of a series of, they call them the five E's that they, I was looking for one thing, and they have these five E's that they look at in determining whether a community is a bicycle-friendly community, and they kind of are these goals around enforcement, education, engineering, evaluation, and encouragement. Okay, and then they have what they call the 10 building blocks of a bicycle friendly community. We can go into a couple of these if you want, but in essence, when you look at the overall score, and they also make it really clear on their website and in the application that there's no single route to becoming a bicycle friendly community. Each community kind of does it a little differently, but what we did was we had gotten a report, and actually the report that is on the website is a couple of years old.
Okay.
And so I got the most kind of, you know, it was from, I believe, 2004. And so I got a little update from Zach, our bicycle guy, with the town, and he kind of let me know which areas he thought that we were improving in. And so it's really, you know, it's a little bit of, you know, kind of a roll of the dice, but, you know, you can point to certain kind of areas where if you do increase, you increase your chances of going for the gold. And so, for instance, I know some of the areas that we have moved up a little bit in terms of data that he's collecting. One is simply in our total bicycle network mileage to total road network mileage, okay? And I know we have done a good job of identifying, you know, more routes and making them more more visible on our maps and in our publicity. The percentage of primary and secondary schools offering bicycle education, we've ramped up our efforts in our schools. And, you know, what's kind of good with us is we only have a couple of schools,
so we
can make sure that they do this, you know. Other areas, we've added some bicycle lanes. Our ridership is up a little bit from the last time that data was taken, and so that's another area where we have increased. And then one of the big ones is that you have a bicycle plan that's current, and it's being implemented. And of course, mm-hmm. we've been in the process of updating our plan dramatically this year, and so that bumps us up a little. We have a staff person, and to be a town of our size and have a person totally dedicated to, and Zach isn't totally dedicated to bicycles, but transportation and bicycles, and anyway, the amount of staff time we have to be able to focus on this is mm-hmm. is a high mark. And so anyway, we're really excited about the application and really hopeful that we'll get to be the first town in North Carolina,
awesome.
Perhaps to reach that gold level. So
that's cool. So speaking again with Mayor Lydia Lavelle, so what are some of the things that the town faces in terms of challenges to being a bicycle-friendly town? I think one of the biggest ones is just there are a lot of narrow streets with narrow lanes and a lot of vehicular traffic. So one of the things I think the town has to do, and Carver has done a very good job of this, is to create designated not just bicycle lanes, but bicycle trails and separate ways for people to get around that don't involve being on the roads themselves, and there's a lot of that as well.
There is, and you know, and if you look at our town, the congestion downtown can get pretty busy mm-hmm. at peak hours and peak times of day. And so I can remember a former transportation planner, you know, talking about this and saying, "This is what you want. You know, you
yeah.
don't want a dead downtown,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
But yet, you know, so if you're at a corner where a lot of people are walking across and some bicycles are going through, and mm-hmm. then you have a big bus trying to turn, and you know, some cars. I mean, it does get a little bit kind of scary. I guess the good thing is one of our initiatives has been to develop slow zones in town.
Yeah.
When you get kind of toward the town, you see it ramps down pretty quickly to 20 miles per hour. And we're trying to, you know, get some high level visibility, kind of lights and flashers and markings so that people know, hey, you're going through this little part of our town. It's really not that long a stretch, but you need to slow down dramatically.
Yeah. Speaking with Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarborough.org for more information on town government. Do you have information about the billboard bill?
Yeah. So one of the, I have the bill in front of me, and
okay.
I remember there were a few parts of it I was thinking about talking to you about,
yeah.
but now I have also this memory that, you know, a couple of the concerns with it was, you know, first of all, local government should be the ones to be able to determine, you know, the size and the location of these billboards. And it seemed to me also that this bill, as I looked at it, gave some greater deference to DOT or to perhaps developers through DOT
mm-hmm.
To kind of take down environmentally sensitive areas without taking those into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
It also, I think, allowed a little greater degree of some kind of non-conforming sign,
mm-hmm.
Of a non-conforming sign. So there were a couple of different ways that they wanted to change this up and adapt it, even location-wise, that just... There were some things that I would say, dare say, some of the more progressive cities,
mm-hmm.
The more environmentally conscious cities had an issue with.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like I say, I think that the League didn't have an issue with it overall after some of the changes were hammered out.
Okay.
But speaking from Carborough perspective and from someone who kind of likes it when you go down an interstate and don't see a bunch of billboards. And you know, I didn't dig down enough to see if it addressed these electronic billboards.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
sure if it got to that degree of level.
I actually
not,
like the electronic billboards. They're a little bit of a distraction because they'll flip to something else and then you got to see that one too. But the
yeah.
first time I ever saw a billboard like that was when I was growing up in Michigan, we'd go to Tiger Stadium. And as you're driving mm-hmm. into... Mm-hmm. the big city of Detroit, that's when you started to see the electronic billboards and those little flippy the more analog ones that flip to a different one
yes,
instead.
Yes.
I thought those were so cool when I was 7.
I think in the right place they
yeah.
really have a great use. I mean,
yeah,
imagine if you had to get out, you know, and I don't even know if they have this in the municipalities or jurisdictions that have those, but imagine if you had a way to kind of override
mm-hmm.
the advertisements in the case of some type of an emergency of some
yeah.
sort. It seems like that would be a real good use of a billboard like that.
Speaking with Mayor Lydia Lavelle, other things going on in Carver. I know there's still a couple of construction projects going on, Merritt Mill downtown and then Estes in Greensboro.
Yeah, so Merritt Mill, of course, is happening downtown. And, you know, as I've talked with lots of folks about this, that's an intersection that is in vast need of an easier way to walk across each of the roads there. construction began this week, so anyone who's tried to go there through there has been able to see it. It's not massive construction, right? It's just, it's, you know, kind of realigning, doing some repainting, putting in some ways that pedestrians can get along easier. I think there's one island that's being put on the Chapel Hill side, but it all kind of takes time, and especially at such a busy intersection. Originally, we were told in the MPO meeting that I attended that it would be take roughly a month, and I think the most recent information I've seen indicates it may be a little longer than that, but it's not going to be a tremendous amount of time, and it will be well worth it to have that happen. The other thing, let's see, a couple more things. Well, this Sunday, of course, coming up, before I get to talking about Essie's, I wanted to be sure to mention this, that this Sunday is the Latin American Festival, which will be on Weaver Street. I'm going to be out of town. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it back for that or not, but it is a fabulous festival that I've been to the last couple of years, and if you want to get some exercise, you can participate in their Zumba.
Nice.
But you can get some good food, listen to some good music. It's been co-sponsored by the town the last couple of years, and they kind of shut down Weaver Street. We kind of moved one of our summer streets to that weekend to have it, so I want to encourage everyone who can to go out to that. And then the other, I guess, reminder, Aaron, you know, oh my God, you know, we could, the idea of talking about the Estes roundabout every year for 2 years is making me crazy. But one thing I will say about the Estes roundabout is there was a little bit of work out there this week at different times. I wanted to remind folks, you know, that haven't been through that intersection or haven't really thought about it, with next week on Tuesday with the public schools kind of going back, that there will be, you know, school buses going through there, and there will be folks, you know, more folks probably driving through that intersection, and really also walking and bicycling there, you know, with the greenway also, to be aware of you know, construction that could be going on, mainly during their return routes, right? Because they're not beginning until 9 a.m. But it'll be interesting to see how that affects the flow, even of pedestrians and bicyclists, once they really get going with that intersection.
townofcarborough.org for more information on town government. We'll leave it there. But Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.